You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the Dressage Today podcast, sponsored by Equestrian Plus. Hi, Aviva.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm kind of feeling mixed these days.
Yeah, it is a mixed month. And so for our listeners, I didn't do our normal big intro because Aviva and I have both been flying by the seat of our pants. And we decided that this month we were just going to catch everybody up on what we've been doing and what we've been thinking about. And that's the big interview, is us catching up with each other.
Life got in the way because life sometimes.
Because life is life. Yes. Yep. Yes. But before we do that, let's talk about our Ask the L question. Let's get the important, not that we're not important, but you know, let's get the important stuff out of the way. Yes.
Yep.
The Ask the L question actually comes from Stephanie. I was hoping that you could talk to people about the use of the time outside the arena before the bell rings, once the bell rings. I feel like sometimes it's a place where people can get frozen. And I feel like if they knew better what the parameters were of that time, they might be able to use it more efficiently.
It's actually a really important topic. And I think lots of people aren't aware, you know, as soon as the person ahead of you has saluted, you should be permitted to start going around the arena. And it is a wonderful opportunity for you to let your horse look at things. So if you have a horse that worries about stuff and you know that, you know, that sign on the fence over there might cause something, go past that sign, both directions. If you have a horse that worries about the judge's booth or the car or whatever that is, try to get past it in both directions so that your horse has the opportunity to see it. If you have a horse that is behind your leg, canter down the long side on the outside. Get your horse in front of your leg. Do some quick transitions. Do a little bit of leg yielding if there's room. You know, get your horse working before you enter. Once the bell or the rings or the whistle blows, whatever, you have 45 seconds, which everybody thinks, oh my God, I've got to get down center line. And they whip around and they bolt down center line.
Right.
For all of our listeners, at some point during the day, set your clock for 45 seconds and just sit there. 45 seconds is a really, really long time. It's much longer than you think it is.
Okay.
When I was working with the sports psychologist about my show anxiety, one of the things that I did was develop sort of a protocol for myself. And one of the things that I did when the bell rang was I got myself to K or F, somewhere in that area, you know, outside the ring. Mm-hmm. And I would halt and I would take a breath and I would reach forward and pat my horse on the neck and I would say out loud, okay, it's showtime. Let's strut our stuff.
Aww.
And then I'd breathe again and I'd pick up the trot. And it was a wonderful reset for me and it kept me from rushing. And it kept me from panicking. That was, you know, that's something that I did to usefully use that time. But what riders need to think about is what works best for them. And as I said, if you have a horse that is behind your leg, the people who just sort of wander aimlessly around, that's not getting your horse primed for the center line. That's not getting your horse primed for the ring. And, you know, our horses know when we leave the warm-up area. And usually when you ride at home or in a lesson, you go in, you do whatever it is you're doing, and then you leave that area and you're done. So the warm-up to the show ring, many horses say, okay, I'm done. And you have to say, no, you're not. Other horses so you know.
You should be in the habit of saying, no, I'm not, at home every once in a while. Like, they should practice maybe warming up someplace at home and then going and riding someplace.
Yeah. So I'm fortunate that I have an indoor and an outdoor. And what I used to do when I was competing was I would warm up in one and then I'd go into the other. So that my horse knew that we worked in both places. And I still do stuff like that. You know, I ride in the indoor because the footing is beautiful, but then I want to go outside because my horse tends to be more forward outside and, you know, work on the tempies across the diagonal because I have more room. So he knows that no matter where we are, we're working. I even sometimes take a walk down the driveway into the pasture and work in the pasture a little bit, you know, and I'm not even competing anymore, but it's a way of just sort of resetting your horse that, you know, when we're working and we could be working anywhere. So that's one thing for riders to think about, using that time around the outside of the arena.
Okay.
For horses that have a tendency to get, you know, what I hear a lot is everything was great in the warm up, and then I got into the ring and my horse got tight and tense and frozen. Or my horse just took over. So again, your horse doesn't know the difference between being in the box and being around the box. So if you have a horse that takes over, you know, 99 out of 100 times, the issue in the show ring is not your horse, it's you. It's you being nervous. You know, oh my God, now I'm going down center line and I'm riding a test. So if you include that time around the arena as part of your showing, you can get some of your nerves out. You can say, you know, okay, I finished the warm up and now I'm in the show ring preparing to go into the show ring. And do I still have my left lead canter? I'm going to work my left lead canter transition until the judge rings the bell. And I even have time for it a couple times after that, just to make sure. Because I know one of the things when I first started riding and competing, you know, this magical thinking that we have, I couldn't do it in the warm up, but somehow magically, once I get in the show ring, I can. You know?
What do you mean?
And I think, well, you know, I'm warming up and I don't have a left lead canter transition.
Okay.
And I don't have it and I don't have it and I don't have it. And instead of stopping and taking a breath and reevaluating and going over my aids and maybe doing a couple of right lead canter transitions to remind myself of what a transition feels like, I simply say, it's okay, I'll have it when I hit the show ring. And then you go into the show ring and you get between A and K and you're supposed to do a canter and you can.
I gotcha. Okay. Yes.
But magically, you think that once you hit the ring, you can.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
You know, they say the difference between a professional and an amateur is that an amateur does it until they get it right. And a professional does it until they can't get it wrong.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. So, that's a nice, yeah. Because, you know, anybody can do that. It's just a change of thought process.
Exactly. It's just a matter of, you know, going into the show ring prepared and using that minute, because you know that once the rider in front of you finishes and salutes, the judge has to do the further remarks. That's going to take 20 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe even a minute. So you have all that time to ride around the outside of the arena, to do the things that you need to do to get your horse sharp, to practice the things that were difficult in your warm up, to acclimatize your horse to all the stuff around this new ring. And then when the bell rings, you still have 45 more seconds. You know, so the other thing to think about is I see so many riders, you can see them, okay, they've heard the bell and now they're going to come down center line. And as they turn before they enter the ring, their horse does something. And they come down center line anyway.
Yes.
Well, don't. Bail.
You're pretty much describing regionals for me.
Yeah, there you go. You know, don't do it. Turn, make a circle, yeah. Get your horse back on your aids. Remember, that center line starts as soon as you cross into the ring. So if your horse has started bucking, or you're supposed to be trotting down center line and your horse is cantering, you've already just screwed that first movement. Take your time.
And that's your first impression. On top of it being a movement, it's your first impression.
Exactly. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat at sea and I try not to ring the bell if I see somebody's having difficulty. But, you know, there comes a time you have to ring the bell. And
while they're
sometimes
still outside
I'll ring
the arena?
Sometimes I'll ring the bell and the person looks great and they start to come down center line and you can see all of a sudden something happens. And instead of them saying, I have time, let me circle, they bolt down the center line. And, you know, my comment is, you have time, prepare better. Get your
horse
back on
the aids. Not Jesus, take
the
reins.
Exactly. So, you know, hopefully that is helpful. You know, those are the kinds of things to think about. You know, the problem with competing is that not only do you have to ride tests, so you have to be prepared to ride each movement, but you also have to keep riding your horse. And when we're at home or when we're in the warm-up or when we're in a lesson, we have time to bail and prepare to do something again. And in the show ring, we don't. So you need to be prepared. You need to know your test intimately.
As does your horse.
Yeah. You know, when I used to compete again, and what I tell my riders is ride your test before you go to bed every night. Put yourself, if you know the arena that you're going to be in, imagine that arena. And let's say you're riding training level test one, A, enter working trot, X, halt, salute. That's not the way you practice. You sit on your horse and you stare straight down the center line at the judge. And you say, I'm staring at the judge. My legs are even. I know my horse bulges through the right leg. So I've got a little bit more right pressure to keep my horse straight. I'm not going to suddenly get to X and pull. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to half halt. I'm going to settle. I'm going to halt. I'm going to breathe again. I'm going to put the reins in one hand. I'm going to drop my left hand and I'm going to salute the judge. I'm going to breathe again. And then I'm going to close my lower leg, push forward with my hips, and I'm going to trot. And you know, a 5-minute training one test can take 15 minutes to ride in your head.
Yes.
If you ride
and that's a skill
every
set.
Single
yeah.
step.
Yep.
And the thing is, your body doesn't know the difference between visualizing and doing it real. So you've just ridden the test. The other thing I tell people is don't think about what could go wrong. You know, yes, we need to be prepared if our horse doesn't pick up the lead, but don't visualize my horse missed the lead. Because if you visualize it, you just rode it. Ride perfectly.
Okay.
Ride perfectly
like
all
you could
the time.
Ride, you could think, okay, I know he likes to lean in that left turn, so I'm going to make sure I've got that left shoulder up before I go through the corner. There's riding your possibilities in a positive way.
Exactly. You're not riding a mistake. You're riding your horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another question. When you're outside the ring, obviously you should not be training. You should be, hopefully you should not be training because the training should take place at home. But every once in a while, because you're in a new environment, some training might need to take place. Is the judge formulating an opinion of you before you go in?
Technically, no. Technically, the judge doesn't even see you until you start down center line. So,
but
of course, we see everything. If I see you beating your horse before you start down center line, yes, I have just formed quite an opinion about you. If I see your horse stand up on his hind legs, spin and bolt, and I see you fix it, I have formed another opinion about you.
You crazy, and you like to ride those hot, hot, hot horses.
Yeah. Or, you know, good for you.
Yeah.
I have had people who have come down my center line and I have formed an opinion, and their rides contradict the opinion. You know, you have to, we're judges. We have to judge what we see when we see it. So, you know, you don't want to do anything at a show that you wouldn't, that you, that isn't appropriate. You know, I like to think that the training that you, if you need to do a little bit of training, if you need to do a little bit of discipline, that it's appropriate. And the judge wouldn't look at that and say, oh, no, 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 I'm calling the TD because that's abuse.
Right.
But if you need to do, as I said, you know, if you've lost your left lead transition and you need to do 15 transitions to the left lead in your time around the arena, isn't that really training? Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it appropriate? Well, yeah, because you need a left lead when you, because unless you're riding intro A and B, every other test has a left lead canter. So you better have one.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I think that sometimes people can be worried, like, oh my gosh, my horse isn't, he's, you know, he's doing this, and it may be the rider getting nervous that's causing it, but they feel like, oh, they're looking at me. I can't correct this. And I guess that's what I, it doesn't matter if they're looking at you. If you're outside of the ring and you're making a positive out of a negative, it's not going to, it's not going to get held against you once you go.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Okay.
Good riding is good riding, and judges want to see you train correctly. I mean, this is embarrassing to admit, but I have actually left the show ring three times when competing unintentionally.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And the first time I did it, I was riding my horse, Freddy, in an indoor coliseum, and I was riding a first level test and left lead canter, lengthening down the long side, went to bring him back. He trotted out at A, left. And I turned around and I went back in and I picked up the test and I rode the entire test. And then I went up to the judge and I said, thank you for allowing me to complete the test. And she said, you know, you're eliminated, but your horse needs to know that he can't do that. And I said, yes. And I appreciate your allowing me to do that. And the next day I went into that same arena and I did well and we stayed in the ring.
Nice.
So, you know, if you, if something horrific happens and the bell rings, you, you go to the judge and you wait for the judge to tell you what to do. If somehow you happen to leave the arena, yes, technically you're eliminated, but go back in, ride something because it's training. And, you know, judges are riders.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, like hunter riders, you're, you get a few tries to get over the jump. The first time you have a refusal, you don't get eliminated. And if you continue to refuse it and you do get, you know, you do get thrown out of the show ring, you go back to the warm-up area and you jump something. Because your horse needs to know that they do things.
Okay.
So, all right.
Thank you. That was I think that would be, will be very helpful for people, and hopefully it will give them a way to positively use that time outside the arena instead of it just being time where they're freezing and hoping that it goes well in the ring.
Yeah.
From short training tips to how-to videos and insider access to private clinics and lessons, learn from top dressage experts with Equestrian Plus. Watch exclusive interviews and lectures, slow motion demonstrations, and step-by-step tutorials taught by top-level pros, and explore cross-discipline topics such as groundwork, rider fitness, and stable management. Visit equestrianplus.com to sign up for a 7-day free trial with subscription.
Now let's talk about regionals. How did you do?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Okay.
You know, I am pleased. I did not win.
It's okay.
I would like to have won. I was planning. I had three championship classes.
Okay.
I was planning on winning one of them. I wanted a jacket. So a lot of the things that you were talking about, like I'm not very good at visualizing because I squirrel off and start thinking about stuff that has to get done. But because I have been traveling so much, way back in June, when I got my qualifying scores, I sat down and I counted the number of days I had between then and regionals to ride, counting in all my trips. And then, you know, kind of took my tests apart and said, this is what I need to work on. That's what I need to work on. So we went up a day early. I had two championship classes Friday. That was the first day of the show. We went up Wednesday because he doesn't do well his first day after a big travel.
Okay. How far was the show?
It was up in Conyers, Georgia. So it was at the horse park, which is interesting because that can be very controversial for footing. There was 1,000 rides that weekend. Georgia Dressage and Combined Training Association did a bang up job. They are always great hosts. The facility itself causes some controversy. Because of the footing. There were some people that notably weren't there that had gone to other regions. And if you were on social media over the weekend, they kept talking about how they went to other regions because they cared about their horse's feet. My horse is barefoot. I know that between the arenas, they've had crushed asphalt on all of their walkways for forever.
Okay.
So I prepped by getting some what I call house slippers they were just some canvas slip-on shoes with leather soles that he wore anytime he was out of his stall, wore it to get to the arena, and then we took him off. So, you know, it wasn't schmancy fancy Wellington footing. It was Georgia footing because they're in Georgia. So I didn't find anything wrong with the footing myself, but I was happy with our travel up there. He was wonderful in the stall. He was very well adjusted. And so I felt really good. My number was 312. So out of three classes, I planned on win one, two. You know, like I was using all these positive things in my head. After our talk last time, I adjusted my music and put some louder parts in there. And sounded great on my computer, sounded great in my car or in my truck. When we went to the sound check, which took forever, it was like horrifically loud.
Oh.
Like, oh my God, somebody please turn that off loud.
Oh.
So I was panicking.
Oh. Oh.
But I'm like, and the announcer looked at me and he said, do you trust me? And I'm like, do I have a choice? And he's like, trust me. And he managed it. So somehow he could see when it was going to be super loud and he turned it down. So thank you, Lord, for that man being so amazing. But I worried about, like, I wasn't worried until that moment. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, my music's going to ruin everything. And I had to really get myself back under control.
Yeah.
If he didn't warm up great for the freestyle, I had my spurs on, which I wear kind sometimes and sometimes not. And I ended up having to take my spurs off. And that helped. But he was a little bit more blown up than normal. I stuck in my space the whole time. Didn't matter which test I was riding. Didn't matter if things were going well or not. I stuck in my space in my head. I was very happy with that. So we got the warm up done for the freestyle. I rode in the covered. I picked up my canter and I waved really big and he didn't see me. And I'm like, this is everything we've talked about. So I stopped because I'd added back some music. So I had a little more time. I stopped and I'm looking at him and he's like, now? And I'm like, anytime now. So we had that going in. And I did warm him up in the covered the day before, but there weren't people there. You know, there was more going on. So he went in with a good amount of tension, which he drops his back. He tries really hard, but he drops his back. So the neck comes up a little bit. He's off the bit. There's less answer to the leg. So coming down center line, I do a, you know, I do shoulder in left, and then I change and do shoulder in right on center line. Shoulder in right, suddenly his head is floating up above my body. And I'm like, where's your head going? Ah! So we got that back under control. He walked in my first canter pirouette. Because I had that mistake, I was, so I do a half pass and then I go straight and then I do a half pirouette and then I come out on the diagonal line and do my changes, which is pretty cool when it works. So because I didn't have that pirouette great, I only did the 3-4s. I didn't go for 5.
Okay.
I was like, let's just make sure this is correct. But then my second pirouette was good. And so I went for 5-3. So that was good. So tension, moments of tension. I still loved riding my test. I still love riding my horse.
At the end of the day, isn't it? Isn't that the most important part? You love riding your horse?
I love riding my horse.
Yeah.
We were 0.3 away from reserve.
Wow, that's good.
So we got a yellow ribbon. Got a yellow ribbon. We were super happy. And in our Barbie Dressage Award ceremony, we showed off our 2 tempies. So that was nice. I had my third level ride later that day, and it's just not his test. I like that test. He does not. I do not get good scores in it. And I was pretty low in the scoring. He had tension again, came in, halted, threw his head up. He put his head way up in the rein back. You know, just again, like places of tension that I don't normally deal with.
And you're going to get nailed in your submission score for that as well.
It just took everything down. So it was interesting, the scoring. My freestyle, the judge at C gave me a 69. The judge at on the side gave me a 65. So I got a 67.
Okay.
For my freestyle. Both of the judges in my third level test gave me a 62. So I was, I was far, far out. And the next day, had a super good warm up for my fourth level. Felt really, he was settling in really nicely. I was happy with the warm up, no spurs, everything's good. I thought I wrote a pretty damn good test. All of my peeps on the rail were
smiling.
You know,
yeah.
People were happy. A dear friend of mine rode in just before me, and she ended up having to retire her horse because he showed up lame. So I was like, "I'm riding this one for you." The judge, and so there were some, there were some little mistakes still, but overall, I was like, "Yeah, that's a good test." The judge on the side gave me a 67.5 and had me in fourth place behind some really big heavy hitters.
Great.
The judge at C gave me a 56 and had me in 13th place.
Wow, that's a big difference.
And they were both watching the same test.
Interesting.
So it was, I literally had people from my class, come up to me and go, "What's going on there?" And the thing that is the most interesting to me is that the C judge was my judge on the side the day before in my freestyle. And she gave me a 65, which with what I thought were bigger errors.
But there was music.
There was music.
And the artistic.
I didn't have nearly, like, I had a lot of 4s on that test from her. And there were no 4s despite the mistakes in my freestyle. It was,
Were the scores that disparate with other riders as well in that class?
Nope.
Interesting. Because
and I don't take it personally.
I did a championship with my Percheron Hackney Pony Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And there we had and also just a bizarre difference in scoring. You know, one placed me 4th and the other placed me 11th or something like that. And we were out of the ribbons. And, there were 24 people in the class, and mine was the only test that was you know, everybody else was within 2 to 3 percentage points except for mine.
Yep.
So I put that down to breed bias because, you know, Harley is not a traditional or was not a traditional dressage horse. And you kind of had to look past some things to see how correct and light and everything else he really was. But Dante is a traditional dressage horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's weird.
It was disappointing. It was disappointing. And then me being me, we kept looked at the results, and it looked like I was in seventh place. So I was like, yay, I get to have a ribbon. You know, it's a good color for him. La la la. So I dressed up in my Barbie dressage stuff one more time. We wandered down to the awards ceremony, and I was chit-chatting with one of the other ladies standing there, and the award person came up and went, "You must be our champion." And I had to look up and go, "Okay, God, I really want to take this ribbon." And he's like, "It's not yours." Yeah. So I said, no, I'm seventh place. And she's like, "Did somebody pick up your ribbon?" I said, "Yeah, maybe my friend got it." And I gave her my name, and she looked at me and her face fell, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You're not seventh. You're ninth."
Oh.
So we got dressed up for no reason.
Oh.
But here are my takeaways. I prepped the best I could, and I don't know that even if I had not traveled at all, that I could have been any better prepped. So okay. I'm happy with my horse. He was strong. He knows what he's doing. We looked like we belonged there. The things that I think I need to do is I think I have to bite the bullet, and I have to start getting him out in bigger venues to deal with having a bigger venue around me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he really tries. If you remember, I think last April when we went to a bigger venue and he lost his little mind because the roof was groaning, he stayed with me so beautifully, even in the times when he was scared. So I just think that needs to be the next step. And my dear friend Judy Downer, who traveled with me, she said, "You have enough power. You have to work on connection." So, you know, what I've been working on all this year was power.
So you need more.
Well, I need the connection. You know, I need to know that it is recycling, and that in a moment of duress, I still can access the power.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to have a jacket. I can choose to hold on to the 56, or I can choose to hold on to the 67. I'm taking the 67.
Well, you know, and what you take home is my horse was rideable. My horse was better. Mm-hmm. I was happy coming out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you know, we go to shows to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
But the judge doesn't know where you came from.
Right.
To know that it's better than it was.
Absolutely.
The judge doesn't know what special circumstances you may or may not have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the judge doesn't need to know any of that. But at the end of the day, what I always say to my riders is, were you pleased with yourself? Do you feel that you did the best that you could? Did you learn something from it? Was your coach smiling when you came out of the ring? Because your coach knows where you came from.
Well, and I was my coach there. I haven't been to a regionals in 5 years. And this is his first regionals.
This was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And I can truly look and say, I stayed in my plan. I did not.
Good.
When things went well, I stayed in my plan. When things didn't go well, I kind of went, "Huh, that's interesting," and used my plan to get back to it. So mentally, I think I was on my game better than any big show like that I've been to. And I did get an invite for my freestyle to go to finals. I did get invited to go to. I did for the freestyle. I'm
Are
not
you
going.
Go?
No, because you know, that's a lot of money, and it's really far away. And if we didn't win, good chance we're not going to win. And I don't want to go for one class. It's just enough to be invited.
It is enough to be invited. That's very exciting. Well, so, it sounds like this was a very successful show, even without the ribbons to prove it. And, you know, at the end of the day, the ribbons don't tell the story. The placings don't tell the story. The scores don't tell the story.
Yep.
You know, it's really nice to leave with a jacket and a blue ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we all would rather win than not win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you left feeling proud of your horse and you. So,
and I feel like I have an idea of where to go next.
Yeah.
You know, so that is also because everything's training, isn't it? So, you know, I don't go, oh my gosh, I have to do this again. I'm like, no, we're ready. We know how to do the stuff. But I have to work on some of the, you know, the housekeeping things, making sure mentally he's comfortable. So I bought a shad belly while I was there.
Yay.
So
I bought a shad belly. It's sitting in my closet. I'm never going to wear it, but it sure is pretty.
You can try it. You can ride in it sometimes. I have done that before.
I'm thinking, so I'm thinking that when I do my century ride in 5 years and I ride, you know, training level test 2 or whatever it is that I'm going to be riding at that point, I'll wear it, even though it's inappropriate.
Awesome. I don't care. I think that's amazing.
I don't either.
So you have some big news. Let us hear your big news.
Well, you know, they say no good deed goes unpunished, right? So what was it like 5 years ago, Stephanie Ruff contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to be her co-host on the Dressage Today podcast. And I said, I don't know why anybody would want to listen to me, but sure. So I've been doing this podcast, and, you know, people reach out to me every so often and, you know, I get comments, oh, I listened to your podcast. And one day I was going to judge and my scribe made a point of telling me that she'd specifically asked to scribe for me because she listens to the podcast and started telling me about one of them and what she had learned and how she had applied it. So, you know, that made me feel really nice inside. And then, you know, 3 years ago, I went to Israel to ride in the Maccabi Games and I met some lovely Israelis. And it was, you know, the trip of a lifetime and very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And a year after that, one of the Israelis that I met contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to judge for Israel virtually because, you know, with the war and things, they weren't traveling. Mm-hmm. And so I, of course, said I would be delighted, and I got two of my wonderful judge friends, Ida Norris, who's an S judge, mm-hmm. and Robin Nunnally, who was also an L grad with distinction, and the three of us judged for Israel. And then, you know, didn't hear anything, and that was fine. And then about a month and a half ago, I got a call from my friend in Israel asking if I would be willing to judge virtually again. So, of course, I said yes. And a couple days before the show was supposed to open, she sent me a message and said, can you call me? So I called her and I'm expecting her to say to me, you know, they had just come to the peace accord and the hostages were going to be released. And I figured she was calling to tell me, you know, we've decided to have live shows and we don't need you. And she just didn't want to do that on a text. She wanted to do that live. And I called and she said, it's a very good day in Israel. And I said, yes, it is. And she said, but I wanted to tell you that she's on the board of the Israeli Equestrian Federation. She said, mm-hmm. we've been talking about what we're going to be doing for clinics and things. And we decided that we wanted to do a clinic with somebody who was relatable to the lower levels, who we believe has a really good eye and who believes in classical dressage. And Aviva, we'd like to bring you to Israel for a week and have you do some clinics and some teaching. So, of course, I said yes.
And that's amazing.
I'm flying Israel. I'm flying
I'm
Israel
so proud
on December 3rd to spend
oh my gosh.
A week teaching. And then there's a possibility that they'll have me come back again a few months later to do some judging for them and to do some more clinics. So no good deed goes unpunished. So my friend in Israel listens to my podcast and, you know, loves the Ask the LSAC part of it and feels like I'm somebody they want in Israel. So
that is amazing. That is amazing. I am so proud of you.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Such an honor. And yeah. It goes to show that you don't have to have ridden in an Olympics to be able to make an impression in this world of ours. You know, it's being true to your to your values with your horse, and it's being kind and yet clear, encouraging yet demanding, and baby, you nailed it.
Well, we'll see how they like me after a week of lessons. Who knows?
I think that's amazing. But I'm very proud of you.
It's very exciting. So I don't have any real details at this point, but you know, in December or January, I'll fill in everybody. And the weather is lovely in Israel in December. It's, you know, highs in the, you know, mid 60s and lows in the mid 40s. So it isn't brutally hot. It's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And my wonderful long-suffering husband said, go for it.
Because that's what they do. Because
taking care of everything.
They married horsewomen. They married horsewomen.
Well, he did not marry a horsewoman.
Well, that's true. Yours didn't. He didn't know what he was getting into. But
No. My
for better
husband.
Or for worse. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. In sickness and in health. And
that's right.
Know, this horse sickness. So, yeah.
In travel and in presence.
Yep.
So cool. Very cool.
Yep.
Well, I think that covers it.
We talked I think a that long covers time. It.
We did. But we had exciting stuff to share. So
we did.
I have one more exciting thing to share.
Okay.
I had two different articles come out this month.
Oh, that's right.
I had one come out on I don't know, how do you call it? Virtually, whatever. Dressage Today.
The online Dressage Today. Yep.
Yes. So I submitted an article to them about using your dressage movements out in on the trail, because I ride here alone a lot, and I run into, you know, not only do I run into cows, and as an aside, that was the first thing that Dante got to do when he came back from regionals. After a couple days off, we went out into the pasture and we actually had to move some errant cows. So that was his reward for being a good dressage pony.
He's so funny.
So last week they had the article go live with pictures and a little bits of videos of me and Dante swimming around in the creek. So that's really cool. If people want to catch that, they can find it on dressagetoday.com.
Online, yeah.
And online, yep. And then I also had an article come out in print in Practical Horseman. And
so
they use the videos that keep giving from a couple years ago, the whole reason that you and I met, the videos that I did for Dressage Today's platform. They went back and scoured through those, and they got 7 tips for improving your position. So I'm really excited to have
again, this
both
is
of those
no good,
out there.
Good deed goes unpunished. See,
no, seriously,
you came onto the podcast and now you're punished. You're on Practical Horseman.
So that was cool. So I'll get your autograph when you come back from Israel, and you can get mine, and then we'll have each other's autographs.
That sounds perfect.
We might not be famous and we might not be fancy, but we're schmamous and we're schmancy.
There we go. I'm feeling very schmancy right now.
You are schmancy. And pretty soon you're going to be schmamous too.
There we go. I love it.
Oh, thank you everybody for joining us today while we did a little catch up. And as always, if you like what we're doing, please hit the like button and share it with your friends. And we will see you next month.